Scooby-Doo experience.
Hey, what's up? This is the 39th episode of my podcast. I wanted to talk about something that happened with me recently. It's related to photography. I had somebody introduce me to a prospective client who, they're an international organization. It's an international brand and they have been in India for a while. They wanted someone to photograph an event of theirs, and this friend of mine, who's obviously a senior in the industry, they introduced me to them, and I got an email from the prospective client saying, hey, it's, you know, nice to meet you, nice to e-meet you on email, because it was all on email, and we would like to go see your work, and we would like to understand your ethos, and see what we can do together in the future, etc. Reading their email, I was really excited because this is a brand that I wanted to work with. It would look really good on my portfolio. So I was very excited that they wanted to see my work and they wanted to understand my ethos. Most Indian clients don't write stuff like that. All they want to know is, how much do you charge? That's it. That's been my experience. And I do mean most. Obviously, I don't mean all, because I have the clients that I work with are not like that. It's mostly obviously prospective clients, and invariably something happens where it doesn't work out, because if you're shopping for only on the basis of price, I am not the right person to work with, because I am not selling you 10 photos. I am selling you something that works for the brand in the long run, something that can be used to tell a story of the brand. So it's not something as simple as, oh, 10 clicks of the shutter and this is what I charge per shutter. That is a factor in the cost of photography. But the other costs include things like there is a creative fee, there is a daily fee, there is a cost of time, things like that. So when this person wrote saying, we want to understand your ethos, we want to see your work, I was like, yes, you know, finally I can show my work to these people and they'll be so goddamn impressed and I'll be the only photographer they'll work with in India. And I was super excited. And then they wrote me an email saying that our intern will call you tomorrow. Whatever time. And I was like, okay, I'm nothing against interns, but what was all that talk about, you know, that you wanted to get to know me better, etc. I said, fine, whatever, if it's the intern, it's the intern. I got to get the work done, so I got to get the work done. It doesn't matter who I'm speaking with. So I eventually spoke with the intern, and their question to me was, how much do you charge? Which is always a very disappointing question to start a conversation with for me personally. Yes, money is important. It is very, very important. I am able to pay my rent. I am able to buy new equipment. I am able to do a bunch of things because I get paid. I get money. So it is very important. And it is important in the sense that without that, I'm not really interested in doing work for free, because I'm not a slave. I would like to be compensated for the things that I do, and I do them well. So money is important. I want it to be part of the conversation. I usually bring it up first because I understand most people are extremely uncomfortable talking about it. I have been there. I have been extremely uncomfortable talking about money for most of my career. So I get it. I get it that this is not something that it makes us squirm. It makes us tighten our butts. Like, oh my God, I have to talk about this now. I still squirm a bit, but I am a lot more comfortable talking about it because I understand why I charge what I charge and I am at peace with it internally. I don't need to justify my rates to someone else. I do need to tell them that this is what I charge now and that's it. It's like going to it's like shopping for a house, for example. You are told this is what it costs. Now, you can negotiate a little bit, understanding what the market rates are, etc. But photographers don't openly disclose what they charge. So, clients generally don't know what the market rates are. Their idea of what the rates are is based purely on other photographers that they might have worked with in the past. Now, the kind of photography that I do is also quite different from what has traditionally been happening in the industry. You usually have photographers, someone's an automotive photographer, so they photograph only cars and vehicles and bikes. You have photographers who shoot magazine covers, and that's 90% of what they do. What usually happens is that these photographers do have one specialization, which they show in their portfolio. They do shoot other stuff also, but they just don't show it to you. I know a lot of photographers in advertising, for example, or people who specialize in a particular genre who also shoot weddings, but they will never openly, publicly on their portfolio say that we shoot weddings. They get that kind of work from word of mouth, etc. My problem is, the way I look at it, especially from a client's point of view, that I do a lot of stuff. I shoot across all kinds of genres. So it's hard for clients to understand what exactly it is I do, which is why I say I'm a photographer. As a photographer, as any photographer, you should be able to photograph any subject. So the conversation about pricing used to always be hard, because clients would come back to me and say, hey, you know, this photographer charges so much money, so why do you charge this different amount of money? Obviously, it was usually higher than what the other photographer charged. And that other photographer was considered somehow to be more popular or famous, or had been around longer than I had. So these things kind of were always a problem to explain why I charged a certain amount of money. What is it that I was bringing to the table? Usually I just assumed that my portfolio on the website would be good enough to convince someone that, you know, my rates are worth because of that kind of quality. But it never works. It, unfortunately, like, it works, but maybe one or two in 100 inquiries that I get would already come to the table with the understanding of the quality of work that I do. Most come to the table without even having looked at my work, which was the case in this email exchange and phone call as well. They had not seen my work. They had no idea of what kind of experience I had. They had no idea of the kind of clients I'd worked with. They'd never seen a single story that I had put together from start to finish. So they asked me, how much do I charge? I gave them a figure. And there was an audible gasp at the other end of the phone. To which they then responded that the budgets were very different, which obviously is speak for, that's not the kind of money we're looking to spend. It's probably 1/10 of what you just said. I just wish people would just say it. If you have a budget, why don't you just share that with whoever you're speaking with? You say that, okay, look, I'm in the market to buy a house, for example, and my budget is 2 crores. And then you go around shopping on the basis of that a little bit here and there. Maybe you can say, okay, I'd 2 crores for a 3-bedroom house. But then the market says that, no, you can get a 2-bedroom house in 2 crores. So you reduce your expectation of deliverables. So if that is negotiation, right? So when you come to a photographer, you can negotiate on the basis of two things very, very easily. One is the number of images. So for example, if you're willing to spend 1 lakh on 100 photos, for example, which is a lot. But the photographer says that I charge 2 lakhs for 100 photos. But your budget is 1 lakh. So then you say, okay, I can make do with 50 photos, but my budget is only 1 lakh. So the photographer has to deliver less number of images in your budget. So both parties are happy. That is negotiation. That's what you have to work out. You can't get stuck on saying, oh no, my budget is 1 lakh and I want 100 photos in that. No, that's not how it works. That is one. The number of photos is where you can negotiate. The other thing you can negotiate on is usage licensing. Yes, that is a thing. Yes, a lot of photographers in India have no clue what that is and do not ever include it in their contracts if they have contracts. I do. I have always included it. Yes, India is a different market in that sense. Different types of clients, different types of photographers. So you have to find what works for you. What I do is my usage licensing is pretty clear. Depending on the kind of client I'm working with and the kind of usage they come to me with, they say that we only want it for PR purposes. Now, PR purposes means that they could give those images to magazines, to newspapers, to online online publications. And those people would use those photographs to kind of market this brand. Now, my usage licensing, so that's one thing. Again, you can negotiate on. Now, if the client has a larger budget, then it can include advertising usage, which means that you can use the image on hoardings, for example. You're directly selling a product using those images. You're advertising your product or your brand. So you can negotiate on the basis of that. You can tell the photographer that, hey, okay, these are your rates, but our budget is, for example, half of that. And we don't need advertising usage. We don't need, usage. We don't need editorial usage. We only want, for example, only internal, or we want to use it only digitally. There will be no print usage. Or we want to use it only locally in this state. We don't want to use it pan-India, or we don't want to use it internationally. So the larger the scope of the license, the more expensive a photographer will be. A lot of photographers in India have no idea about this. When I started, I had no idea about this either, which basically means you need to self-educate, or you need to speak to a photographer who knows, which is a problem because a lot of photographers themselves don't do this. They usually just give it all away. Now, one of the things that you need to keep in mind in Indian law, as I've understood from copyright and IP lawyers that I've spoken with, is that in your contract, you're supposed to clearly write that the copyright rests with you as a photographer. Because internationally, the thing is, you don't need to mention that. It is automatically assumed that the copyrights remain with the creator unless it is a work for hire agreement. So in India, you need to clearly specify that, because if you don't specify that, copyright automatically transfers to the client, which doesn't really make any sense, because you've created it. The copyright should stay with you. And that is how you exercise licensing usage control. So if you say that this is a license that I'm giving to you for a year, now after a year, if the client wants to continue to use those images, you can say that you need to repurchase the license, because the copyright rests with you. Copyright resting with the photographer does not mean that the photographer can sell these photos with the brand's IP in it. So if the brand's logo or the brand's products are in the photographs, I cannot commercially sell those images. I can use them on my portfolio. I could even maybe do an exhibition, etc. But that's a whole different side of things. So just a client, prospective client asking you on the phone immediately, how much do you charge, is a bit of a difficult thing to answer if you look at all these factors. Over a period of time, I have realized that it doesn't matter. If they don't get it, you can't really educate someone over a 5-minute phone call. So I usually just tell them a standard rate, which by now I think all my friends in the PR and brands, etc., kind of know how much I charge. So when the client comes back to me saying that our budget is actually 1/10 of this, and then they compare me to a very old press photographer who's been around in Delhi and works with a lot of clients to photograph their events, etc., my first instinct is to go, just what the fuck do they think they're doing? Are they really comparing me to this guy? Are they really comparing my work to this guy's work? It's, of course, the initial response is based on ego, which, even though I would love to believe that I have none of, I have a lot of. So my initial response was, oh my God, did they just say that? How can they say that, that person charges 1/10? Was it 1/10? 1/10 of, not 1/10, actually, it was less than 1/10 of what I charge. I actually told them that, dude, that's great, but that's not what I do. What they do is not what I do. My work is different. Like, have you seen my work? Obviously, they hadn't, which they very politely and unashamedly admitted to. Oh, no, I have not seen your work. Please go see it. Please first go see my work. Then let's have a conversation about what do you need? Where are you coming from? What is the brand about? What are your requirements? Show me reference photos so that I have an idea. I understand you're not a photographer. You might not be able to articulate what things you need. But if you show me reference photos, I can kind of understand what it is you have in mind. Now, the problem is that if the client has been working with that photographer for, the last 5 years, at a budget that is X, when they want to, even if they go see my work and they want to work with me because obviously my photos are better, hello, then the problem arises when I tell them that my rates are 15 times, 15X, for example. And they cannot understand that gap. What is that gap? And that is where the sweet spot is. That is, if you can find an answer to that gap and explain it to the client very simply, where they kind of understand it, the market is all yours. Now, that has been the hardest thing for me to do, and I still don't know what the answer to that is. How do I convey the value of my work and why it costs that kind of money without having to justify why I charge what I charge? I don't know the answers yet. I'm still figuring it out. I have been in this industry for about a decade plus now. Still, this is pricing, negotiations, how to understand what the client's requirements are, how to figure out a way to work around the budget, etc. So the client eventually upped their budget. So if their budget had been X, they upped it to about 3X. And they said, that's all we can do. So then I asked them that, okay, you know, the number of photographs, for example, was one point where I negotiated, and I am going to give them 1/10 the number of photos that that guy used to give them, for example. Of course, that still doesn't justify such a high drop in value, but I decided to do it because there were a number of assignments in one go that I would be getting from this client, and the client is somebody that I would love to show as my client. So on my portfolio, that will look wonderful. And I want to work with them over a longer period of time. The other hope was that once I do this for them, for, you know, 3X, they might see that, okay, we do want to work with this photographer in the future. They might call me for more exclusive kind of work that no other photographers in India have been hired for. So that is another reason why I agreed to do it in a lower rate. My invoice to them included the fact that my actual pricing was X and that I was giving them this much percentage of discount, which brought the total price to whatever. So it is important for you to convey at every step that the value you are giving is this. It's fine if you work, you know, when you're young, especially you're getting work, you sometimes think, "Arey, let's just do it." You know, money, fine if you're not getting any money. If you can afford to work for free, that's what I keep coming back to. Can you afford to work for free? Usually, if you come from a place of privilege where you have money, family money, where you have parents taking care of your expenses, you don't have to worry about things like rent, then you are in a position where you can afford to work for free. I would still very strongly suggest that you don't work for free, because you are working and it needs to be compensated. So ideally, that is the way to go. And if you even for a moment think that, oh, maybe this one I can do for free, you're opening, it's a slippery slope, basically. You need to understand that and go in with full self-awareness and make it very, very clear why you're doing it. If it's a business decision, the client needs to understand they are getting a certain amount of value for a certain amount of money. So it's a choice you need to look at as a business decision. Don't look at it emotionally. Oh, this will be so cool, I really want to do it. No, you're running a business. You need to make a profit. You need to have revenues. So it needs to be, okay, so this client's name will look good on my portfolio, which will work for my marketing and business development efforts. Maybe I can give them a 10% discount. Okay, so they don't want so many photos. They want only so many photos. So maybe I can give them another 10% discount. And you please very clearly mention this in your invoice. I'm obviously assuming that there's a contract where you will have also written down usage licensing. Even if you're not a professional photographer, if you're a blogger and you end up, you know, your client wants to use the images that you've produced, you need to have a usage licensing there too, very clearly. Because tomorrow, what if they use your face to sell one of their products and they end up making crores in profits, for example? What are you getting out of it? You need to receive value there, because you're helping them sell their product. You're helping them promote their brand. That's what celebrities get paid for. Those are endorsements. Sure, you and I might not be celebrities, but if our faces, our likenesses are being used for endorsements and we are helping them push products, we need to get a slice of that pie. It is as simple as that. I don't understand why we are still in 2017 steeped in this culture for, oh, but how can I ask for money? That sounds so cheap. No. No. You go and buy onions. You go and buy milk. you subscribe to Netflix, you pay for everything. Nothing is for free. So why do you have to feel that, how can I charge for something? You charge for your work. You are providing value for which they are giving you money. It's an equal transaction. So this conversation of pricing and how to do your contracts, etc., is very important, and it's not a lot of people are open about it. So for example, for someone like me, it took me forever to understand what this was, how to work it, what kind of contracts to have. Keep them simple, because a lot of clients will look at 10-page contracts and go, oh my God, this sounds really complicated. So yes, if it is complicated, then you pull in a lawyer friend and you write a contract and you involve the client's legal team. You need to be comfortable with legal terms. You need to be comfortable with how to negotiate. You need to be comfortable with how pricing works. You need to be comfortable with things like marketing, business development. What do these things mean? How are you going to use them to further your cause? And your cause is spreading awareness about your work. So this last client interaction, I was just trying to kind of give you an idea. It's not exactly a case study. I've tried to stay on point as much as possible without divulging any confidential details. But that was how I kind of went about it. And of course, by now the assignment has been done and published and the images have been used, etc. And we will see what happens next time when they have to hire me, because I will bring it up that, look, last time you hired me for, one-tenth my price and you saw the kind of quality that I deliver. You loved it. You liked it. I would now like to be paid what I charge. And I'm pretty sure that that's not going to happen. But from 3x, it might come to 6x. And so the cycle continues. And every new client that you bring on who actually hires you and pays you, I am eternally grateful for them, because that basically gives me more material to do my marketing with. It gives me more material to do my business development with. So every new client that I get means that I get more clients, which is why I have a blog, which is why my photography portfolio exists online. Doing that work and showing that work further helps me get more work. And that's the cycle that you need to understand, which is why in one of my previous podcasts, I talked about how photographers can use social media to further their portfolio, how they can use it to get more work, etc. So this is a constant circle, continual circle, ideally, that you should keep on. You should have a mix of different kinds of work that you do, so that, you know, you do work in one category and then you do work in another category. By the time the older work that's been published attracts another client from that same category, and then you do that. So, you know, you know what I mean? That's the kind of work that you have to constantly keep doing. It's not just about going and shooting. There is a process of shooting, editing, and sharing. So you also have to put together a story. You have to edit the images. There is post-production. And then finally, the way you share it. So there needs to be a sharing plan, marketing plan, how you edit it, how you select it, things like that. Now, one of the things I forgot to mention was that this client also said that this other photographer that they work with, who's a press photographer, they have huge trouble working with them because they end up giving them thousands of photos after an event which are not edited in any way, shape or form. They are not color corrected. They are not captioned. It's just a huge dump of images. So that is another area where you can negotiate, especially with a client who has never worked with a photographer like me or you, for example. You can say that, look, I will give you 20 photos with full post-production, in the sense that the images can be directly used in a magazine or in print. And I will also curate a story from start to finish. It won't be a whole dump of thousands of photos. These 30 images or 20 images will very concisely tell the story of your event, of your brand's event, which is where the value is. It's a slow process, especially of educating clients who don't understand how this works, especially if the client belongs to the old guard. Younger people, if they have interacted with other people like me, they kind of have an idea. So they are more open to understanding your point of view. The old guard is generally quite stuck where they are, and unless they actually leave, things are not really going to change. So I would maybe another 5-10 years where I can probably completely stop bitching about the professionalism in the Indian industry. So yeah, that was one story that I wanted to talk about, photography and contracts and how the assignment kind of panned out and what I ended up doing, how I priced it, how I negotiated, although I didn't really have much choice here. I didn't really negotiate. I really wanted to do the project and I was okay with the lesser number of images that I was delivering.